Lord put a message on my heart today that I want to share with you about encouraging. How many believe that there's great power in encouraging? Amen. I believe God wants each and every one of us to encourage each other in the Lord. Acts chapter 4 and begin with verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. In Hebrew, the word bar is son, like Simon bar Jonah, Simon the son of Jonah. Nabas means encourage. So his name was son of encouragement, was the name the apostles gave him. He sold a field he owned and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, the Bible here introduces us to yet another Joseph. How many know there's Joseph in the Old Testament? And he's the one that God used mightily to preserve the Hebrew people when he went to Egypt. And Pharaoh made him second in command of all of Egypt. And Joseph put away food and stored food that would last them for 7 years. And God used him mightily. And then there was Joseph in the Gospels. Joseph, the husband of Mary. And now yet we find another Joseph here in the Bible. And you know what? You know I love definitions. So I had to look up the name Joseph, to see what your name means, Joe. And what it means is the adder, not like a snake, but the one who adds. You know, isn't that cool? And I got to thinking about that. In the Old Testament, Joseph added to God's blessing upon the Hebrew people. He caused them to be able to make it through a time of great famine. And then comes along Joseph, the husband of Mary, and he added. He wasn't concerned about his reputation, but he obeyed God and he took Mary to be his wife. And he is the stepfather of Jesus, was there in his life as he grew up as a young boy. And now we meet another Joseph in the Bible. And it means son, and here they named him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. There must have been something special about him. How many have ever had people in your life that you just like being around them because they're positive? There's some people I don't like to say, how are you doing? Because I don't have an hour. You know what I mean? But then there's others, you just get around them and you feel good. They're smiling all the time. Kathy and I just recently watched the movie To Joey with Love. And I don't know if you've seen that, but it's about a kind of a bluegrass gospel group or country group that Joey and his wife, what was her name? You don't remember her name? Joey's the girl. Oh, Rory and Joey, yeah. And it was so amazing. We watched this movie and here these people are in the prime of their career in country music, winning awards, making money, going and doing concerts. And the Lord puts on their heart to take some time off. And so they take a year off from traveling. And in that year, she becomes pregnant. And then they find out she has cancer. And you know what was amazing? This guy was documenting that year of their life, not even knowing that it would be the last year of her life. And yet, as we watched this movie, I was so fascinated that almost every time the camera was on this woman, she was smiling. How many know the joy of the Lord is not dependent on your circumstances? Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through. If you have the joy of the Lord, you can go through it no matter what you're facing. You're going to have the joy. Now look at Acts 9, verse 26. I want to read a couple more scriptures and then we'll get into the text. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. This is speaking of Paul, who was Saul, who became Paul. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Now, I don't know, you might look at that and you might want to judge the apostles and say, wow, you know, here they were being afraid of Saul, and couldn't believe that he had changed, that he had really given his heart to the Lord. But I'm telling you, I would have been a little leery too. That'd be like me going to dinner with a pygmy. I mean, I might want to trust that he's met Jesus, but I would make a good steak lunch for him, huh? And yet here comes Barnabas. And he speaks up for Saul. He brings them to the apostles and he tells them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him when he fell off his horse. That's a private joke for our Connect group. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. Wow. Powerful. Powerful. Amen. Now look at Acts 15. We're going to begin with verse 36 down to verse 40. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas now had been commissioned by the church. They anointed them. The Holy Spirit spoke through them and said, anoint Paul and Barnabas. They're going to go out and do some mission work. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Now, I am shocked that this story remained in the Bible. If I was writing the Bible, I would have hid that story. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's not showing them on their best behavior. Paul and Barnabas, the two big shots of the day, and all of a sudden they're in a real fight, and it's so bad that one has to say, I'm going to go this way, and the other one says, I'm going to go that way. Have you ever been there? Don't point at anybody. But what amazes me again when I look at this guy Barnabas is he put everything on the line just because he believed in this guy who had disappointed them before. I think that's amazing because listen, church, sometimes only Christians kill their wounded. I've seen it happen so many times. When the minute someone's down, instead of lifting them up and encouraging them, the church comes along and wants to bury them. That's not what we are called to do. Here is Barnabas, and when here's Paul telling him, I don't want to take John Mark with us. Don't you remember? He deserted us in Pamphylia, and I don't want to take him along. He might leave us again. What does Barnabas do? He says, no, I believe in this guy. I'm not going to go if you're not going to let him go. Boy, that's powerful. You know what it reminded me of? Reminded me of my friend Jim Baker, because years ago, I remember before I ever even met him, I read his book. No, actually, I'd met him one other time. But I'd read his book one day. Kathy bought it for me for Christmas, and I read the entire book, and it's a big, thick book. I started early in the morning and read it all up through the night and read his book. And in his book, he tells the story how when he fell with PTL and everything collapsed on him, he went to prison. I remember he told me, he said prison was the best Bible school he ever could go to. He said he was just alone with God and he got in the Word. But in the book, he tells the story how his first day out of prison, Billy Graham invites him to his house, and Billy Graham takes him to church that next Sunday. And Jim's like, Billy, I don't want to go with you because the media would probably be there following me, and I don't want to be bad on your name or anything. And Billy Graham says, no, you're going to go, and you're going to sit right next to me. He got a car for him, so he'd have a car. He reached out to him and loved him. I thought, what an example of Christian love. You getting what I'm saying? There's not a one of us in here who hasn't failed at some point in our life. Man, I've got things that I've blown it with that I'm ashamed of. I wish I'd have never done that. I wish God had never said those words, or I wish I'd have never done that thing. And yet God is one who sees us beyond our faults and failures. Can you say amen? See, I believe Barnabas looked at John Mark and he didn't see his failure. He saw his possibility. And his motivational gift was encourager. You see, I believe we all have different motivational gifts. Mine is encourager. That's my motivational gift. When I preach, I don't preach because I'm somebody with great wisdom that wants to dazzle you. My whole purpose of doing this each and every week is that you will be encouraged. That's what drives me. That's my motivational gift. Others, their motivational gift is administration. Man, I know people who can just put everything in order. You know, they come in and look at my desk, it scares them. They just go... They look at my garage and they almost have a nervous breakdown, you know. And then there's givers. I've known people who, man, God just uses them to give. And man, when a need's there, they're just there meeting it. Others have the gift of mercy. Man, you know, they just see somebody, they'll give their last dime. They'll go over and spend their last hour helping somebody because their gift is mercy. But listen, Barnabas was motivated and moved by encouraging. He was willing to give up his entire ministry that he had with Paul just to encourage one guy. One guy. I want you to know I'm here today because there have been people across my life that have encouraged me. I'll never forget when I was 18 years old, I was touring, doing concerts in Mississippi. And I got a call from an old preacher friend from who was much older than I was, and he was about retired, but he called me and said, I want you to come and preach a revival at my church. I said, oh, see, I don't even know if I'm a preacher. I know God called me to preach, but I'm a singer, man. I've never preached. I've never done a revival before. He said, all I know is, Keith, when you did the concert in Canton, Mississippi, you touched my son. And I saw my son for the first time touched by God. Would you just come here and do what you do for a week? Man, I'll never forget. I go to stay at his house. I drive down there. And I'm thinking, God, I don't know if I'm even a preacher. Are you sure about this? I go in and he says, here's your bedroom. I walk in the bedroom and there was an envelope with just filled with money. He was a wealthy man. And I'm like, what is this for? He's like, that's for you. I spent that week on my face before God. I prayed. That's probably the longest week I ever spent in prayer. I would pray all day long. God, you got to give me a message because I don't know what I'm doing. Do you know what? That week was incredible. We saw people saved that week. That was the time when I got to baptize the one guy. And the first time I'd ever baptized anybody. And he was like 6'6". And here I was, an 18-year-old kid. And I bring him down. I hit his head on the baptistry. And I said, we need to scoot over. And he looked at me like, I'm not sure I'm ready to do this a second time. And scooted over. And that time I got him under. But listen, there have been people that have poured their lives into me. Jerry and Judy Whitener, my pastor, my childhood pastor, and his wife. They poured so much into me and loving me. And that's why I'm here today. I want you to know that in our church, there are three or four people in this church that your gift is encouragement, and no matter what I'm going through, you will find a way to come and tell me something that lifts my spirit and that encourages me. Thank God for encouragers. What's interesting is when you come to the end of the Apostle Paul's life, now remember, him and Barnabas parted ways because of John Mark. But you come to the end of Paul's life, he's writing his last epistle, 2 Timothy. And he's writing to the pastor Timothy, and he says to him, that's when he says, bring the scrolls, you know, bring my books, you know, bring my cloak with you that I left. I want that. And then he says this, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Oh, that is, you talk about vindication. If I was John Mark, and I was reading the Bible, and I read where Paul got so mad at Barnabas that he parted ways because of him, and all of a sudden, here you got the Apostle Paul saying, would you bring John Mark with you? Because he's profitable to me and helpful to me in my ministry. Isn't that amazing? You see the power of encouragement? And you guys are quiet as a First Presbyterian church this morning. I don't know if it's because I don't have notes. Maybe I'm not preaching as good without notes or what it is. But you're scary looking today. Good night. Acts chapter 11. I got a lot of scripture today. I know this message is so different, but it's what God put on my heart, and it's because of somebody that's here, I know. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. And some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Now Barnabas goes here to Antioch, and he goes there to a place that was not real Christian friendly. You getting what I'm saying? And notice what it says. It says the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. You know what we call that? Revival. Revival came to this town of Antioch. I think that's amazing. Look at verse 22. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem. Who do they send? Barnabas. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. See, revival breaks out and starts happening, and the church hears about it in Jerusalem. And who did they send? Barnabas. You would think they would send one of the apostles, wouldn't you? Come on. But they recognized that there was one guy that had a way of making everybody feel better. One guy who, when you were around him, you went away encouraged. And these people were scattered because of persecution that was all rampant. And what do? They send Barnabas to Antioch. Look at verse 23. And when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas comes to Antioch, and what does he see? Grace. You see it? He saw evidence of the grace of God. And the Bible says he was glad. Don't you like glad people? You know what made him happy? Made him happy when he saw that people were getting saved. God, give us compassion for the lost again. Lord, let us once again have a burden for those who are perishing. Church, we're living in the last days. Jesus is coming back soon. And I pray to God that revival will break out in our city. Come on, somebody. The Bible says he was glad and he encouraged them all. Here you got the son of encouragement. What's he doing? He's encouraging everybody. And this was a specific kind of encouragement. Notice, he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Now, why did he do that? Because so many times there are people who come to the Lord when they're having a problem. As soon as the problem wears off, goodbye Jesus. You find them in the parable of the sower. It's true. Man, I'm telling you, after 9/11, when 9/11 happened, we had to set up 40 extra chairs in the church because people were calling, ringing the office, wanting to know what time church started. People who never went to church all of a sudden felt the need. I remember walking out of the hospital. I was doing rounds at the hospital in Belvedere, and I walked out of the hospital, and one of the surgeons said, "Hey, Reverend, can I talk to you?" He was a Jewish man. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "My wife tells me that some of this what's going on is talking about in the Bible. Is that true?" And I said, "You better listen to your wife, Doc." He was even shook up because of what was taking place. Hear me now. Barnabas encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. I'm going to tell you what, when the Holy Ghost inspires Luke to write about Barnabas, and he says he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, that tells me a lot about this guy. What would the What would he say about us? Full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. I'm praying that God will do an outpouring of souls that will be won in these last days. Come on, I want to see God move and see people come and kneel and give their lives to Jesus Christ. And notice what happens after people start getting saved. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Now keep in mind, Saul was still a new Christian. Saul was not quite yet accepted by all the apostles. And yet when Barnabas sees an opportunity for ministry, what does he do? He's like, I'm going to go get Saul. He needs to get his feet wet, loving and ministering to people. And so he goes to Tarsus, where Saul was from, his hometown. And he gets him and says, come with me, man. Let's go over here to Antioch and spend some time discipling some new believers. And let's go preach the gospel together. See, I think that's amazing. I don't know about you, but to me, that really says something. When others weren't quite sure about him, Barnabas saw something in him and said, God will use that man. Yes. And he goes and gets him and brings him to Antioch. And look what it says. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Man, when I was a kid, we'd had a 2-week revival at our church sometimes. And man, I thought that was long. Can you imagine a 1-year revival? That's what happened. Barnabas and Saul put their lives on hold for 1 whole year just to minister to the people at Antioch. Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And look at this. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That's the first time where they started using this phrase, Christians. I guess they could truly say they went to First Christian Church. Huh? It's like Third Fifth Bank. I always wonder, what is Third Fifth Bank? I just want to give you a few points that I saw in this story today, and I'm not going to keep you much longer, but to me, this passage spoke to my heart, and I'm not really sure why God laid this upon my heart, but first of all, his wholehearted devotion to Christ and his will is what God wants. I believe in these last days, God's looking for men and women who will say yes to the will of God, no matter what the cost. Come on, church. That they'll just say yes, no matter what the cost. Read a statistic this week that today, right now today, this will be the last Sunday for close to 500 preachers across America will quit the ministry today. It's averaging 1,700 a month preachers are leaving the ministry and walking away. I find that staggering, that figure. And I remember, you know, I've had so many friends who've left the ministry and who've just given up. And I'm like, why? Sometimes it's just because no one was there to encourage them. You know, for every one person that'll encourage, there'll be about 50 who will criticize. Come on. I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about all of us. You know, we'll have people who be critical in our lives, and yet God puts that one or two people who will be an encourager. And God wants wholehearted devotion to Christ and to His will. That's what He's asking of us. Are you willing to say yes today? Philippians 4:9 says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. To me, that's one of the heaviest statements that Paul ever made. You know what he's saying there? You follow me as I'm following Jesus. You may not see Jesus, but you see me. And whatever you've seen in me, whatever you've heard from me, whatever you've learned from me, whatever you've seen in me, put it in practice. And the God of peace will be with you. That's why one time Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Not sure about your God, but my God. Come on. That's what he was saying. Secondly, look for God's grace at work in people's life. I truly believe sometimes you'd be surprised at people that God is dealing with. They may not go to church. They may work next to you. They may be your next door neighbor. But all of a sudden you bring up the subject of Jesus and you'll find that they have a tender heart towards God. We need to look for God's grace at work in people's lives. You know, there's so much talk in our city about being number two in the nation with crime or number one in the nation for this and number one in the nation for that. I don't believe we need to focus on that. I believe we need to focus on the good in this city. Come on. God has some good people in this city. Come on. Look for God's grace at work in people's lives. Romans 15:1 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Have you ever had God speak that verse to you? Man, when there's ever somebody that's just really rubbing me wrong, somebody that I'm just like, oh, Lord, I push my tolerance, you know, you're really taking me to the limit, then I go to this verse. It says, "We who are strong ought to bear with those who are weak." Come on. That's good preaching, Pastor Keith. Thank you. I think I'll go on. Join with others in the task of encouragement. You know what I saw in this story? I saw that Barnabas went and got Paul to join with him in the ministry. He wasn't concerned about who got the credit. Did you notice that? He wasn't saying, "What will the boys in Jerusalem think?" No, he wanted to link together. I believe that part of the reason we have church is so we can link together with others. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. It becomes multiplication. Are you with me? And then don't be alarmed when God is doing a new thing. No doubt it had to be scary to the folks in Jerusalem when God began moving on the Gentiles. Now, we just studied the book of Acts this last year in our Connect group. And it was a tremendous book. If you haven't studied and read the book of Acts, you need to read it. It's a powerful book. And one of the things that we came to understand was these folks in Jerusalem, you know, in the beginning, it was God was just for the Jews. And all of a sudden, God begins bringing in, you know, Cornelius and all these people, and it begins opening the door for Gentiles, and it was scary for the Jews. I remember when I studied Hebrew here in the synagogue in Rockford years ago, and we were all sitting around the table. Everybody went around to introduce themselves the first day of class, and they get to me, and I'm like, "I'm Keith Manley. I'm a pastor from Belvedere," and every head turned and looked at me. Mr. Goldberg looked at me. Mr. Weinstein looked at me. Every one of them, Levi looked at me, and he's like, finally one young girl raises her hand, and the president of the synagogue called on her. She said, "Can I ask you, sir, what are you doing here with us Jews?" I said, "Because your God is my God, Adonai Elohim. Your Bible is my Bible, the Holy Torah." I said, "I just believe Yeshua was the Messiah." And she looked at me and she said, "We can handle that." I became an honorary Jew that day. Did you know it? They let me in the fold. Come on. Don't be alarmed when God's doing a new thing. Maybe the music will sound different. Maybe the service will be a little different than what you're used to or what you grew up with. See, I love Isaiah 43 and verse 19. God says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." God's doing a new thing today. Whether you perceive it or not, He's doing a new thing. And a lot of times people are critical of that. You need to look at the fruit. If it's bearing fruit, then it's of God. Come on. And finally, see the potential in others when those around you only see fear and danger. See the potential in others. You know what I believe is the biggest missing thing in churches today? There's a lot we're missing, but I believe the biggest area that we're missing in the church is the area of discipleship. That when a new person comes to Jesus, that we don't just take some time and just disciple them and just see some, have somebody go to them and say, hey, I just want to spend, let me spend the next couple of months with you, and I just want to get you into the Word and show you what God has for you. We need that. We need that at Grace Family Church. There are people that need discipling. They need to be taught. And see, just what Paul and Barnabas did, they went there and stayed a whole year in Antioch and trained them in the Scriptures, taught them in the ways of God. No doubt, led many of them into the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure they were there just day after day, pouring into their lives. I don't think they had church just on Sundays. I think it was Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Wasn't it? See the potential in others when those around only see fear and danger. I love 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. And I want to close with this. Therefore, now when you see the word therefore, stop and see what it's there for. It always means it's a heavy verse in the Bible. Whenever it begins with therefore, God is saying, I've said all this to make my point. Now here's my point. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I don't believe you need to have the motivational gift of encouraging to encourage. I believe God calls each and every one of us to be encouragers. Come on. There are some people in here today, no doubt in my mind, who are desperately in need of encouragement. Maybe they have been under attack by the enemy physically. Maybe they're in a financial bind and they're struggling. Maybe there's problems in their marriage or problems with their kids or something's going on. Listen, church, the reason God knit us together and bring us together as a local body is so that you can say, hey, I can tell something's not right. What's going on? Can we talk? Can we go to dinner and let's just sit and talk? Do you need, is there something I can do to help you in your walk with Jesus? I'm praying today that God would make each and every one of us aware of the need to be an encourager. Encouragement to be an encourager. That's what I'm talking about today. Because we need it. Can you say amen? Amen. Stand with me in just a minute and bow your heads. It was very difficult. I had a lot of notes that I wrote out about today and I couldn't see one of them, and that threw me, but I just asked the Lord that somehow you got something out of what I shared today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Keith, I've just been going through something and I really am in need of just encouragement, would you just put your hand up? Don't worry about what people think. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. All across this building, look at this. Thank you, Father. Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray for every man, every woman, every young person that raised their hand today. And God, I know you put this message on my heart this week to talk about encouragement. And Lord, there are so many people right now who in this body who are discouraged. Their courage has been removed because of an attack of the enemy. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that this message today was the beginning of great encouragement in their life. God, would you move on them to open their hearts to those around them and to begin to share so they can help carry the burden and help make it lighter and that they can rejoice in the victory. I just thank you today, God, for the people that you put in my life. God, I thank you today for my encouragers in this church that have always been there to lift me up when I've been low and down. God, someone comes along and they'll just say a word that means so much to me. God, I pray now that you would encourage those who raise their hand today. And in Jesus' name, make all of us encouragers. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen.